Well, good morning. The one sentence from this gospel I want to repeat for emphasis. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And I like to combine this scripture with another one from John's gospel. You may remember the wedding at Cana, where they run out of wine and they're all stressing. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, goes to the chief steward and remember what she says? Do whatever he says. And so they do, and they have this incredible miracle of wine. So I like to combine those two. The Father is telling us, this is my beloved Son, listen to him. Do whatever he says. Do whatever Jesus says. That's the key to life. That's the two scriptures that define all that we need to know about life is listen to the voice of Jesus and do whatever he says. And we're in the season of Lent where we want to listen to Jesus even more. We want to intensify our focus. And here in the parish, we've decided to go through a series where we retell the story, the basic story of why we are here. And we're going to answer four questions over the next 4 weeks of Lent. Where did all of this come from? Meaning creation, the world, the universe, you know? These are questions that are so foundational. Busyness of life, we don't think about them. But where did all this come from? And more importantly, where did I come from? How did I get here? How did you get here? Then next week we'll talk about when we look around us, we see everything is a mess, really. The world is not in great shape. Why did it get so messed up? And then the third week, we're going to answer the question, what's God done about this? And that's really the good news. What God has done about the mess by sending Jesus. And the last week, it'll be a reflection on how do we respond to this story? You know, and it's really important that we know the story because our culture, our world right now is filled with all kinds of lies about how we got here, how we ought to live, what's going to make us happy. And so Lent is a time to take a step back, to kind of refocus and think, why is all this here? Why am I here? What's the purpose of my life? And what does God want me to do? And so we're going to take us on a four-week journey as we go through Lent. So today, as I mentioned, where did all of this come from? The universe, the earth, animals, nature, everything. How did I get here as a human being? How did humanity get on this planet? And we'll look at the book of Genesis. I'm not going to read through the creation account. We're all very familiar with it. You know, there's these 6 days of creation where things like the water, the land, the living creatures, and on the last day, mankind is created. I want us to just, before we talk about the truths, things we can learn from that creation account, just to remind us, if you ever read the book of Genesis, especially the first several chapters, remember it's not a science book, and it's not a history book. And in the ancient world, they wrote these theological truths. These are things that are absolutely true, that we must believe as faithful Catholics, but they're not told in a scientific, rationalistic way. They're not even told in a chronological way, but there's truths in the story of Genesis that I'm going to talk about 6 of them as we go through this. And the other thing, just, you know, oh, by the way, it's important to understand that science and faith are completely compatible. They're complementary to one another. You know, we have this, there's no other polite way to say it, but there's a lie circulating, fabricated in our modern world that says, you know, you can answer all the important questions with science, and then faith is like this little fantasy over here. And nothing could be further from the truth. The two are completely compatible. They're complementary to one another. And I say this from the standpoint of, you know, I still am a scientist. I didn't lose it when I became a deacon, but 35 years. And when I was in graduate school, I have a degree in biochemistry and molecular biology. I just remember studying something as simple as one human cell and how complicated it is, how it coordinates with other cells, how it communicates with itself, how it replicates its DNA, how it has an editor in our, you know, your cells have an editor. If there's a mistake in copying your DNA, it corrects the mistake. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. And I remember as I studied these things in graduate school, all I could think of was, isn't it amazing that God designed it this way? It all works. You know, it's just amazing. And over here, the scientific explanation was, well, this is just all random. This just happened by chance. And I don't have enough faith to believe that. I mean, it takes more faith to believe that than to believe that God has been working through the natural laws to create the universe. And so that's an important point to understand, that science and faith are completely compatible with one another. So I want to go through these theological truths that are present in the book of Genesis that help us tell the story that we ought to believe as Catholic Christians. And the first one is that God is one, and God is amazingly all-powerful. You know, he speaks into existence matter. He speaks into existence everything that we see around us. You know, and again, when we talk about science, science does a good job of explaining how things work. It can mathematically describe motion. We can propose theories for how things got here. But it can never answer the ultimate question of where things ultimately came from. You know, so for example, the Big Bang Theory, many of you know that that's probably the current most widely accepted theory for how the universe got into existence. And in a very, you know, I'm probably going to butcher it, but it started off with a very dense ball of energy and mass that rapidly expanded, and almost like an explosion, and the universe came from all that. And the universe is still expanding, one of the reasons this theory is accepted. Now, that's completely compatible with the Genesis creation account, because science can answer the question of how this could have all happened, but science can never answer where did that original ball of energy and mass come from? It had to come from somewhere, and science cannot address that question. And it goes the same for ultimate origins of all things. And we, in our story of creation, we understand that God spoke into existence all that we see around us. He may have used all kinds of processes, evolutionary processes, who knows what. God designed it all. So God is amazingly all-powerful. And everything God designed was good. And this is the second truth we see in Genesis. At the end of every day, it says, and it was good, meaning it worked according to design. Everything God designed worked and functioned as he designed it. And so it was good. Again, there was no randomness. There was no trial and error. God designed it. It all worked, and it was good. And the third truth, very important for us, is when you read the creation account on day 6, God creates man and woman. And it's clear that man and woman are completely different from everything else that's been created. There's a status that we have as human beings that's above the created order of the world, even living beings. We have a rational soul. We can think about how we got here. You know, I don't think that your dog can think about how he got here, right? You know, animals operate by instinct. They actually function according to the way they were designed. And it's a beautiful thing to see the animal kingdom, the universe, all those things function according to design. But as human beings, we choose whether we're going to follow the design that God established for us. We have free will. We have a rational soul. So we're the pinnacle of creation. Man and woman are the pinnacle of creation. We're unique. We're unique because we're made in the image and likeness of God. That's what it says in the creation account. Very important theological truth. That this rational soul is something like God. That our ability to love others is like God. Our ability to sacrifice for others is like God. We act like God. And that's the way that God designed us to live. And it says in Genesis that, you know, God says, go and have dominion over the earth. And sometimes we understand that wrong, and we think, well, that means we just rule the world like tyrants. God wants us to be like he is and exercise fatherly care over the planet. You know, just as a father or mother care for their family, protect it, provide for it, we're called to be that to the earth, to others. We're called to be like God and exercise this fatherly care and dominion over the planet. So there's something unique about man and woman in creation. We're the pinnacle of this creation. And that's why, again, every day God creates and says, it was good, it was good, it was good. On day 6, he creates man and woman and says, it was very good. Because again, there's something about us reflecting the image and likeness of God. Another important truth, could spend a whole homily on it, but I won't, because I don't want it to distract us, but male and female, he created them. That's right out of Genesis. You know, this male-female complementarity, biologically, physically, emotionally, as persons, we complement one another. It's part of God's design. You know, that's why today all the confusion and same sexual behavior, the sinful behavior that we know is that's out there, the craze of transgenderism that's become really a social epidemic. We might think those are just choices people make, but they're really fundamentally a rejection of this, of God's design. And at the end of the day, they're more serious than we think, because they're basically rejecting. St. Paul would say they're actually a rebellion against God's design. So male and female, he created them. And this is something of the way God designed us. The complementarity of the two sexes is part of his design and part of his the way we image God and the way we love one another and give ourselves to one another. We act like God when we do that. The next truth, God breathed into us the breath of life. And this again is what makes us unique, that we image God, we're like God because we share his own very life. You know, we're not just a creature that has been created by God and left on its own. We actually share in the divine nature of God. He breathed into us his very life. And this gets to the answer the question of why are we here? The purpose of life is for us to share in God's divine life, to be his friend, to be in union with him. And we see this in the Garden of Eden. You get this beautiful image of God established everything to perfection, provided everything for our first parents, and they lived in friendship with God. And it was very good, as it says in the book of Genesis. And so this is really the foundation of our Catholic faith, that we were designed by God to live a certain way, to live in union with God, to be in friendship with him, and to share his own life. You know, the very first sentence of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, this big, thick book that I don't know if anyone's ever read it cover to cover. I use it more like a reference, but it's interesting to read the first sentence because it summarizes the whole book, summarizes our whole faith, and it just says, God, who is infinitely perfect and blessed in himself, freely created man to share in his divine life. That's, in a nutshell, why God created us and designed us, to share in his very life. And we see this in the book of Genesis as well. And I alluded to this, but the reason all this is important, because as we tell the story of why and how we got here and why God sent Jesus and how things got messed up and how God responded and how we should respond, it's important that we understand from the very outset that God had a plan and a purpose in his design for us. You know, there's more to this than just nice information from the Bible. Because what we believe about how we got here influences the way we live. And I'll explain it this way because, you know, the modern science, and again, I'm familiar with it because I studied it, their presupposition often is everything is here as a result of random acts, almost mistakes. You know, things just happen by chance. If that's your underlying presupposition for how we all got here, that affects the meaning of life for us, right? If I'm here as the result of a series of mutations and accidents, what does that tell me about my life? How do I find any meaning for my life? I have to create my own meaning. And so meaninglessness is associated with this idea of randomness. If we think we're here just by random chance, life is essentially meaningless. We have to find our own meaning. We're kind of left on our own. But on the other hand, if we understand the story that's in Genesis, what our faith teaches us, God, who is our Heavenly Father, who loves us, who thought about us, designed us to be in union with him, created us with an intention and a purpose, that establishes, I mean, I feel much better about life. I know why I'm here. God created me for a reason, to be in union with him. And so when we have purpose and design and intention and creation, it leads to meaning in life and fulfillment and happiness. And so I hope that as we talk about the story, we understand this is important stuff, right? It's not just another theory. It's not just like the creation account is kind of interesting. No, it's the foundation for how we live. If we understand we're here because God wants us here, we live in a very particular way. And you know, there's an epidemic of meaninglessness and purposelessness in the world today. I think we all know that. The so-called deaths of despair are at an all-time high. You know, and there's so many statistics. I don't like throwing statistics out, but one that I'm familiar with because I was in microbiology and infectious disease. Really, from the beginning of the COVID epidemic till today, about 6,000 people died in the, you know, 15 to 25-year-old category. So as we know, it wasn't a disease that greatly impacted young people. About 6,000 people. But in that same age group, the number of people who have died from suicide, drug overdose, alcohol-related deaths is almost 10 times more than that. I mean, and that's the real threat. And so we have to wonder, all this despair and expression through alcohol and drugs and suicide, it's related. It's, I know I'm oversimplifying it, but it is somewhat related to the fact that people have been told since a very early age that they're here just as a result of a lot of random activities. And if we understand that God created us for a purpose and a plan, it affects our the rest of our life and how we live. And so I hope we all capture that vision. So I began by asking those basic questions, you know, how did the universe all get here? How did I get here? Well, God spoke it into existence. And God spoke each one of us into existence. When we were conceived in the womb, God had an intention for us. He had something in mind for each one of us that no one else can replicate, a very particular plan and purpose for each one of us. And generically for all of us, that plan is to love him and to be loved by him, to be in union with him and to share his divine life. And so that's the story of creation. That's how it all began. And we're going to move from week to week. Next week is a little bit depressing because we're going to talk about the reality that God created a perfect world where everything worked and functioned. That's how it was in the garden. But we don't see that when we look around us, right? We see a lot of evil. We see a lot of destruction. We see things that don't work. And there's a reason for that, and we're going to talk about it next week, as difficult as it is. Because in order to understand the gospel, which means good news, we have to understand the bad news first and to see what God has done to take care of us. And so we'll talk about that next week. But in the meantime, meditate and think upon the greatness of creation, but bring it down to the personal level and realize God created you with a plan, with a purpose, with a thought in mind. And how am I going to live that out, love God in return, and share in his very own divine life and in his friendship? Yeah.
Let us then now proclaim that faith that we share. I believe one God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy